This is Matt Wells at UN News. The president of the International Criminal Court, or ICC, said on Monday it was important not to be distracted by threats from the United States, whose national security adviser earlier this month described the ICC as illegitimate, adding that US sanctions against judges and prosecutors may be forthcoming. Judge Chile Ebo Esuji told Abdelmonem Maki of UN News that the world needed the US in the ICC, adding that humanity cries for justice in line with the Rome Statute of 1998, which established the court as the bulwark against genocide, war crimes and crimes against humanity.
Well, the president of the ICC is something you may call the, it's like the chief judge of the court. And there are basically in charge of the administration generally of the court. We need to keep in mind that the president does not manage the office of the prosecutor. There's a chief prosecutor who does that, but we coordinate for general purposes. The president has to consult the chief prosecutor and also on matters of mutual concern between the judiciary and the prosecution.
Judge Esuji, in your acceptance speech after your election as the president of the ICC in last March, you did pledge to strengthen and reinforce the Rome Statute system. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It is a very important question. Thank you for asking it. This year marked the 20th anniversary of the Rome Statute, the adoption of the Rome Statute. We celebrated it on the 17th of July. And it was a moment for us to go back to basics, to reflect on what the Rome Statute stands for and what the court also stands for, and to ask ourselves at a global level whether the reasons why the Rome Statute was adopted in 1998, whether those concerns have ebbed in our time, whether we no longer have to worry about those. Basically, to check to see where we stand. Do we need to amplify efforts, or do we need to ease up a little? And that reflection will lead us to say those reasons continue to bother us as we speak. And when you look around the world, you see the kinds of conflict that produce the kinds of crimes, the kinds of violations, atrocities that the Rome Statute was adopted to address. Crimes against humanity, war crime, genocide, those are the big ones. And you look around, you see that we still have reason to worry about occurrences of those kinds of conduct.
Turning into the U.S., the U.S. administration has indicated that it's not going to cooperate with the ICC in any way, with the National Security Advisor calling it an illegitimate court. What is your reaction to that?
First of all, we don't want to dwell on name-calling, calling, like you said, illegitimate, or it doesn't help us get anywhere. We know that old saying, you just, if you want to kill a dog, all you need to do is call it a bad name to make it easier for you to do so. It doesn't mean that the names labeled are accurate. But I don't want us to get carried away, get distracted by that development you alluded to. I urge everyone to focus strongly on why the Rome Statute was adopted, why the ICC was created. That is what's more important. We have to keep our eyes on the ball. We cannot be distracted by whatever reasons. Some people feel irritated by what the court does. The court will continue to do its work because that is what it was created to do. That's what gives it the reason to be. So the judges and the prosecutor must do their work. You know, what's important is for everyone to keep in mind that there are strong systems in place around the Rome Statute that ensures that there is no unfair prosecution against anyone. We have different stages before the process is done, beginning from preliminary examination of information. That is the very beginning, where the prosecutor looks to see whether there's a need to commence investigation. So that is even before investigation. So after the preliminary examination, if the prosecutor feels that she has enough information to warrant looking deeper, to kick it up to investigation stage, then the prosecutor would request the judges for authorization to open investigation. The judges will make an assessment, a judicial assessment, to see whether they should authorize investigation to open. If they say yes, the judges can say no or yes to that request. If they say yes, it's only yes to, okay, prosecutor, you can commence investigation. Then the prosecutor commences investigation. Mind you, we're not yet even at the indictment stage, let alone trial. It just investigate. The prosecutor may, at the close of investigation, decide, okay, there is nothing that warrants moving the case forward, and that's the end of it. But if she feels that there's more to do, a need for closer look, then she goes back to the judges to have them confirm an indictment she would have drafted. Again, the judges will look at it to see, should we confirm or not? If that is confirmed, then it's only then you go to trial. And at the trial level, I guess the case can be thrown out because there's not enough evidence. So there's all sorts of checks and balances before the process is done all the way to appeal. A case that is tried and judges convict, on appeal, the appeal judges can say, no, we quash the conviction and reverse. So it is a long process, and there's no need for people to get carried away at the beginning of the process, even before any preliminary examination or investigation is begun.
The senior advisor also indicated that the U.S. would be prepared to ban ICC judges and prosecutors from the United States if a proposed investigation into alleged U.S. war crimes in Afghanistan goes ahead. Do you have a response to that threat?
Oh, not beyond what I've already said. Again, it's the same thing I was saying. I mean, it's unfortunate that that kind of threat was made. But I think what's more important for us, again, to not get distracted from why we have the Rome Statutes. I think I can say very, authoritatively that the world needs the United States in the ICC, like we need every other country. But especially the United States. The reason I say so is because they have a long history and experience of supporting these sorts of efforts to address violations. They did that in, they led the world of vanguard, the Nuremberg experience after the Second World War. So the American judicial system actually led the way, let me put it that way, in those prosecutorial efforts. And after Nuremberg, we had the former Yugoslavia, the problems there, and the genocide in Rwanda, and also the war crimes committed in the Sierra Leone Civil War. In each of those instances, the United States played a strong role in insisting that justice must be done post-conflict, and that was done. So it is for that reason that I say that I have a long experience in helping to make this sort of effort work and giving it, the needed assistance at the time. And we do want them to come to the ICC and do the same thing. They know how to do it. They know how to assist, and we want them in there.
Are you surprised by the position that is being taken by the U.S. towards the court?
I hope, same thing. I'm not, again, I say, all I can say is that we must all remember why we have the Rome Statute. There's a lot, I mean, humanity cries as we speak for justice all over. I just came out of the Nelson Mandela Peace Summit. We're still in it. And it's interesting to sit there and listen to head of state after head of state talk about the need for justice in the world, the conflicts that continue, the violations that continue to occur in the context of those conflicts. They need resolving, and that is why the ICC was created. And no country can do it alone. No country can say, well, we can get rid of the international systems. And you ask yourself, okay, if you do that, what do you replace it with? Experience has shown that the world needs a collective effort to solve some of those collective problems. And that was why the United Nations was created. And that was why, in the context of the United Nations, the need was seen to establish a permanent international criminal court to deal with justice issues and no longer do it on an ad hoc basis, as was done in Nuremberg, in the former Yugoslavia, in Rwanda, in Sierra Leone, in Cambodia, in Lebanon. So we need a permanent criminal court, and we have it.
Judge Osuji, there are a number of outstanding cases, among them in the case of Darfur, Sudan, where the arrest warrants were not implemented. How was that impact the effectiveness of the court, and what's your message to the Sudanese government?
That I cannot discuss with you now, because we just came out of a hearing on that matter, and I am the presiding judge in that case, so it will not be proper for me to comment on that. There will be eventually we will release our judgment in that case, and well, everyone will see it when it comes out. So that's all I can say on that. I cannot comment any further on that.
Okay. Also, Judge, many African leaders have accused the court of being biased against them, and they did threaten to withdraw from the court. What's your take on that?
There is some strong support of the court from African countries. The majority of members of the African Union are state parties to the ICC. And we have still very strong support from a lot of leading African leaders. The keynote speaker at our 20th anniversary commemoration was President Buhari of Nigeria. He spoke very eloquently about the need to support the court, and he called on all countries who have not yet ratified the Rome Statute. He called upon them to make it as a matter of state policy to ratify the Rome Statute. And we have Senegal, strongly supportive, Tanzania. There's a host of African states who value the court and give it the support it needed.